Good morning, and a welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, you're most welcome. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between our two morning services. This afternoon, here at 3 o'clock, we have our tea together time. So do come along to share tea, cake, for which we must be famous, and chat. If you have time, please make sure you look at the display in the foyer. We are so blessed with the ministry of Jane Alden, each week doing those fantastic pictures. Pastoral news. Please, could we all pray for Natasha, who is having a hard time getting things together, arranging things in Crimea. Nearly went wrong again. Liz Cook would like to say something.
I just wanted to mention again, next Saturday evening, the first social event of the KURC season, which is the Skittles evening. And we do hope that lots of people will want to come to that. It's being held in the Mayo Hall, and we're having a Skittle Alley provided by somebody who does these things. And you can either come as a team or just come and join in and be part of a team. There'll be a buffet supper, and the social committee is always brilliant on buffet suppers here. And there will be a silent auction, which one or two things are coming in for this already, and hopefully we'll have a whole array of interesting items that people might want to bid for. And if you want to know more about how it works, then come and get a yellow sheet from me. Tickets are £10 and are with people from the ACORN and the Social Committee. So do hope lots of people will come. It'll be a very successful event. Thank you.
And Liz Bartlett now.
The first of the spring lunchtime recitals is coming up. It's going to be on Thursday, February the 4th at 12:30. And it's three colleagues of Sulhi from the London College of Music. They bounced up to us after Sulhi's last recital and said, could they do one? So we thought, well, why not? So they're called the Triton Trio, and they're going to give us a very nice programme of string trios. And then about Ash Wednesday, which I spoke about last week, there's going to be a short service at 8 o'clock, among the other things that's happening in that 24 hours, on the topic of refugees, with the aim of raising our awareness of refugees. There will be music, poetry, readings from the Bible, and prayers. I'm asking for contributions to this service from our members. In particular, it would help us greatly if some members of the church would give personal testimony about their experience of being a refugee. This could be spoken directly or written down and read by someone else to provide anonymity, if that was appropriate. I'm going to be talking to some members of the Korean community to ask them to translate this after the service, but that would be enormously helpful to all the rest of the congregation if one or two of you could do that. Thank you.
And finally, over to Leslie.
Drum roll, please. Drea, thank you. Drum roll and a wrench. Look at these, aren't they lovely? They're not for you. Not for you. I know you'd like them, but they're not for you. They're not for you. They're not for you, people at the back. Dun, dun, dun! Pat, are you one of those people who, like, are you like Rosemary Moore, who likes everybody to know how old you are? Or are you like lots of other people who doesn't? She's 80, 80, hooray, hooray. Happy birthday to you, Thursday. And great to see international jet setters who've flown in to be with you. It's good, it's good. Yeah, not... So let's join together to worship God. From the psalmist. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. It plainly shows what God has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Every night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their message goes out to all the world. We join to sing. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we offer you today the attention and service of our minds. That we may understand more about living, about our neighbour, about you. God of majesty, we offer you today the worship of our church and our hearts, that we may praise and honour you with the awe and reverence you deserve. God, you are stranger and you are friend. And we offer you today the fullness of our feelings and emotions, our faith and our joys, our fears and our weeping. That we may discover you beside us on the mountaintops and in the valleys of our years. So speak to us, we ask, in the written word of Scripture, with the inner voice of faith, in the name of the incarnate word, Jesus. That we may be empowered to day by day love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength as your law commands. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we join together to say the Lord's Prayer in our first language or in the way that helps us the best. We say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I wonder what Sally's going to do. What do you think she's up to?
Good morning. Okay, I'm going to show you two books today, one of which I'm sure you'll already know about, and the other you might not know about because you don't need to really read it until you're a bit older. Okay, and the first book, which strikes fear and boredom into most people's hearts, is this one. It's The Highway Code. It's not the most interesting book, I have to say, but it's vital if you want to learn to drive. Do you think you'd like to learn to drive when you're older? One of them says yes, one of them no. I think you might want to learn to drive a car when you're older. It's a very important rule book, Highway Code. And I'll show you the other book in a minute, but let's just test. See if you can guess what these signs are, and if you don't know what they are, we'll just ask the adults. Okay? because I'm sure they'll all know their highway code. What do you think that is, Dahi?
That is the stop one, and that is the ready one, and that is the go one.
It's very good. It's stop, get ready, and go. It's not get ready to speed up quickly, which is what the minister has just suggested. That is not what the amber light is for. It shows us that there's going to be traffic lights coming up. And if it's red, we've got to stop our car, haven't we? Definitely. What do you think this sign means?
Don't go across.
It's a don't do something sign. Yeah, you're right, but anyone know what that is? Don't turn right. No right turn. Don't eat bananas. Don't turn right. Okay, so we have to make sure that we remember that as well. What's coming up when we see this sign? Dahi, you're very good. You're practically a driver. Do you know what that is? You go round a circle. It is a circle, and it's called a roundabout. And you have to make sure you give way to whatever's coming on the right. Okay? And the last one. Oh, Matilda, do you know what that is? It says stop, doesn't it? And what's that underneath there? Who's that? Is it a grown-up with a little... Yeah. We have to stop because it's a school crossing. It's got children on it, hasn't it? All those signs are in the highway code, and it helps us to be safe and go on our way in our cars and on our bicycles, knowing that we're secure and protected. And that's also what this book does too. Do you know what this is? What is it? It's a Bible. It helps us. It does. If we do what it suggests, it will help us to know that we're safe and secure and protected by God. And you know what? Jesus read this when he was alive on earth. And in today's story, he reads it. He stands up in the synagogue, like a church, and he reads it to the people. That's how important he thinks it is. And we can start reading this now. You don't need the highway code now. You can save that till later. But we can start reading this and loving this now. Okay? That's what we're going to do today.
And the words of God to help us to grow and to develop as people are something that we need to give thanks for. So let us sing. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Strong!
When we start reading and thinking about the prophet Nehemiah, you're somewhere in your gut, you think to yourself, do you know that Old Testament? I'm feeling a bit, I don't know very much about it. Yeah, da, 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 da. Good news. One of the lecturers from the URC's training place, Westminster in Cambridge, she's coming to do an introduction to the Old Testament in Bromley, 20th of February. Be there or be square. There'll be notices up. If you want more information, speak to Catherine or have a look at the walls. The prophet Nehemiah. A narrative account of some of the events which are behind the prophecy which Jesus is going to read to us in a minute. Describes how the first exiles come back and how they are in the process of rebuilding. And Nehemiah's first priority is to restore some sort of wall right around Jerusalem. But also, it's about giving self-respect to the population, and also, it's about reminding them who they are in God's sight. Janine is going to read this passage to us. Isn't it great Janine's here today? Janine's been suffering from some sort of wobbly thing in her ears, which makes really life really great when you're waiting for knee surgery, eh?
Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, 5 to 6, and 8 to 10. By the seventh month, the people of Israel were all settled in their towns. On the first day of that month, they all assembled in Jerusalem, in the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra, the priest and scholar of the law, which the Lord had given Israel through Moses, to get the book of the law. So Ezra brought it to the place where the people had gathered. Men, women, and children who were old enough to understand were there in the square by the gate. He read the law to them from dawn until noon, and they all listened attentively. As Ezra stood there on the platform, high above the people, they all kept their eyes fixed on him. As soon as he opened the book, they all stood up. Ezra said, "Praise the Lord, the great God." All the people raised their arms in the air and answered, "Amen, Amen." They knelt in worship with their faces to the ground. They gave an oral translation of God's law and explained it so that the people could understand it. When the people heard what the law required, they were so moved they began to cry. So Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scholar of the law, and the Levites who were explaining the law, told all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God, so you are not to mourn or cry. Now go home, have a feast, share your food and wine with those who don't have enough. Today is holy to our Lord, so don't be sad. The joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong." Amen.
Amen. Jesus returns to the place where he grew up. He's handed the scroll and then sits down as was normal, to sit, to speak. The passages that come from Isaiah don't come from one place. It's a collection from Isaiah 61, 58, 42. But this is what Jesus believes he has been called to do. And then you have to think, if that was true for Jesus, how much is it true for us? Gail Kingham comes to read the word of the Lord to us.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about him spread throughout all that territory. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and announce that time has come when the Lord will save his people. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today as you heard it being read." Amen.
Amen. When the people heard the scripture being read, they were moved to tears, or they were moved by what was said to such an extent that they decided that they would kill the man who was reading to them. Whereas when we hear the scripture being read, what do we think is the point of the reading of the scripture as we gather? What do we think is the point of the sermon? The exploration of the scripture. What's the point of it? Are we listening for truth that will help us to allow God to work with us to transform the lives that we live? Or will we spend our time playing intellectual games, thinking only that the sermon is about tickling our intellect and our quest for novelty? And when we hear the Bible being read, are we able to listen to the strength of the text? Or do we find ourselves becoming obsessed with the frailty of the reader? And I have to tell you, if you think it's tough for you, you should imagine what it's like for me on those Sundays when I'm not leading an act of worship, to sit. Oh, did you know that there's that prayer in that book? I would have used that. Would have had that hymn. Really? Have you not read this bit of scholarship? What, you still believe three Isaiahs, really? That, as opposed to listening to what the frail human being who is delivering a message that they believe is the Lord's word has got to say to the community that are listening, as well as to me as an individual. Blocking out the word of God with our own internal noise. There are times when we wish that, when we're thinking about the life of faith, we wish that we had met Jesus. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't life be easier? If we met Jesus, we'd know, we'd just be bang on. We'd be, yes, it would be all sorted. We'd ask a couple of questions, know what's what, get cracking on. We'd just know we've got a bit of life to energize, but we'd know, we'd be heading. And here we have a story about people who did meet Jesus. And here we have a story about people who met Jesus, heard what Jesus had to say, and the implication is that they are so incensed that they decide that what they're going to do is throw him off a cliff, or at least try to. So the community of Nazareth would have been rich and poor, gathered together, and he gives them a message about transformation. And some of them didn't like it, and it wasn't just they found it a bit irritating. It was too much. Too much. And we need to remember this story. Because sometimes we have a fantasy that if people would just come to church, and if people would just hear some preacher speaker, and if the preacher speaker would do their job properly and the hymns would be traditional enough or funky and modern enough, depending on our prejudices, and the whole thing would be packaged nicely and well, people would think it was great, they would like it, they would be back. But sometimes actually the problem is the opposite, in that the preacher, the teacher does their job properly, the people hear it and they think, blimey, Charlie, that is just too much. It's too big. It's too strong. It's too important. It's too transformational. It demands everything. Especially at those times when they might meet some of us in our frailty and our failure, in our trying to be followers of Jesus in the sinful way that we as human beings have to do. So when was the last time that you were overwhelmed, when you took time to reflect and to actually allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the sense that the God who made the universe, however you understand it, I'm not a blooming creationist, that God who made the world is interested in what you do on a Monday morning. That God who made the universe, who already knew about that extra planet, already knew that God who made the universe knows what it's like when somebody breaks your heart. Knows what it's like when you're lonely. Knows what it's like when somebody dies and is alongside you in that. When was the last time you were overwhelmed by the wonder of that? And just allow that magnificent thought to permeate not your head, but your heart, your gut, your whole self. Jesus says a message to the people. And it is a message with radical political and social implications. And the agenda of Jesus is the agenda of the church and has radical social and political implications for us too. So, he talks about setting prisoners free. And we also would talk about setting prisoners free. If you want to know about setting prisoners free, tomorrow night there's an open meeting of the Gamblers Anonymous upstairs. For those people who gather here week by week, upstairs, room, if I could remember the name, numbers of rooms, life would be great. Thank you very much. Number 22, that is holy ground. And when, I've been there before for one of their open meetings, and when they talk about it, they talk about how when they come in through the door, this is a safe place to be, they can share their stuff. It's holy space. People who are addicted, set free. That's the job of the Spirit, working with us, taking us beyond our addictions. Addicted? Me? Addicted to power. Addicted to work. Addicted to food. Addicted to alcohol. Gambling, yeah, I get that. Addicted to work. Did I mention work? Good, I'll mention it again. Work. Do you know what your addictions are? Do we know what our addictions are? Do we know what keeps us prisoner? Because we do know the one who could set us free. All right, okay. What about blindness? What are we blind about? Who do we see? Who do we not see? And two relatively short comments to finish. Did you notice the phrase in the reading? Jesus went to synagogue as was his custom. In Britain today, people, regular churchgoers go to church once every 3 weeks in average. That is the pattern of regular church going in Britain today. Regular churchgoers go to church once every 3 weeks. It is not that these people are neglectful. It is not that they are ignorant. It is not that they are failing Christians. It is that life is complex and demanding, and that things are set up so that they will have obligations and things they have to be doing on a Sunday morning. You've got two small kids. They've been invited to a party. It is on a Sunday morning. What are you going to do? That's how life is set up in Britain today. That, my friends, is why it is so, so important that Kingston United Reformed Church offers activities and times of worship at other times away from Sunday morning. That's why the Sunday evening service is important. That's why messy church matters. That's why Wednesday lunchtime matters. That's why Tots praise matters. Because it's to help people to worship God. It's not only about the Sunday morning. That's number one. Number two on the same subject is, if you find yourself in a position where you are obligated to not have time to gather with God's people to worship in any week, you need to accept responsibility for that, and you need to find some way of nourishing yourself, nurturing yourself on the track that you have believed to be right. You don't gather, you've got to do something else. What that something else is, I'll leave that with you. And the third thing that needs to be said is, if somebody turns up in church and we haven't seen them for weeks and weeks, we say to them, good to see you. There's no huffing and puffing, tutting and blowing. Good to see you. Because people have got other obligations and they are following a range of calls, working out what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a whole variety of places. The other comment
The prophet says to the people, Prophet Nehemiah working alongside Ezra and the Levites says, don't cry, don't be so overwhelmed by these scriptures that you cry, celebrate. Today's a day for a party, celebrate. And Orthodox Jews, when they get to the end of the reading of Torah, before they get back to Genesis again, literally take to the streets, bits of the world obviously, literally take to the streets in some of the world and celebrate. For us, sadly, when we think about the scriptures, too often we are overwhelmed by our sense of guilt. I don't know enough. I don't read enough. Who knew there was a prophet called Nehemiah? Now let's take it on. None of us in the room are biblical scholars. All of us could know more. It's a lifetime work. Let's use these texts to help us, to liberate us, to help us to develop. Not, bam, bam, I'm such a failure, No. Take it. It's given to us as a gift. Let's take it. Let's use it. Let us allow these scriptures to convict us. Yeah, of course. To convict us, but also to help us to grow into the love of God, who would set us free, who offers to us life in all its fullness, who makes us weep, but because we are loved. Let us pray. Amen. We join to sing, Jesus Christ is waiting. Thank you. Today is traditionally labelled as Education Sunday. So take that for our prayers of intercession. So let us pray. So let us begin by praying for families in the range of what that means in Britain in 2016. Laying the foundations of what their members may become. That the quality of relationships would be positive. Let's pray for the work of nurseries and playgroups and schools and colleges and universities. Let's pray for Kingston College and for Kingston University, for the schools in our area. For the nurseries, for our own parents and toddlers group. Let us pray for children and students, the staff who work there. That they would be places where people may develop their potential, and places of creativity and love, and places where people are allowed to make their contribution and to know that they are valued as human beings. Let's pray for adult learners, those adults who are learning to read, struggling to do so, and those who are training to improve their skills. For those many in our community who are learning to speak English. Let us pray for those teachers in our community who are working out their faith in education. The Christian teacher. Christian administrator. The Christian teaching assistant. Lord, we pray. And let us pray for those who influence society. Politicians, journalists, broadcasters. Let us pray for those who have the power to allow teaching in our schools
to develop, to nurture, to give it the resources that it needs. And let's pray for ourselves, for we also are teachers and we also are learners. And we will teach to the end of our days, and we have the potential to learn too. Lord Jesus, give us the courage to learn to live by faith. Give us the discipline to be aware of our example for others. Jesus, teacher, help us to learn from you so that we can rightly be called your disciples. Lord, hear our prayers, that which has been spoken, the tiny bit that has been spoken, and the loud plea of our hearts and minds that has been offered in the silence. All in your name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we bring our offering. So let us pray. God, we offer you today the fullness of our lives, the money that we have, the feelings that we have, the faith that we have, the days that we have. We offer them. Use them. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our final hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
the Lord revive us. May we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. May the Spirit of God anoint us for service. And may we be people who proclaim God's blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.